Okay, we're recording from now.
Really?
The best is yet to come. Okay, so now, getting back to love. I say to you that love, even though to some extent is an emotion, it's not just an emotion, it's an action. It's something. If you say to somebody, I love you, then you have to show it. Let's look at a very popular scripture. For God so loved the world that He kept telling them, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. No. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, which means Jesus died on the cross for you. How did He show He loves you? He didn't say, I love you, I love you. You know, it's like sometimes, I'll give you a stupid example. The guy doesn't have food to eat. He hasn't eaten in 3 weeks. You've got more than enough for yourself and for a bit spare. And the only thing you can say to him is, oh, brother, everything's going to be okay. God loves you. Cheers. What's wrong with this picture? Well, Jesus handled it differently. Jesus knew and understood that there was a need in your life, and He gave sacrificially even to His very life to make a difference in your life. Jesus did not tell you, I love you. Jesus showed you, I love you. And the problem today is everybody is telling everybody, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. How about showing somebody, I love you? Because this is what the Bible is all about. God wants you to know, and God wants you to understand that I gave you the scripture just now. James chapter 2 verse 26. Even so, faith apart from works is dead. Sorry, guys. I can see we forgot everything. This speaker has to be here. Otherwise, we're not going to record nothing. Sorry. We have to start over. Sorry. I'm actually just going to stop here because I can see we got drama. It's the first day. No, I have to record it. This is a very good sermon. I have to. The fact is, if we have this video now, there's going to be no sound. Now there will be sound. Would you allow me to start over? Yes. I won't recap on everything, but I have to just sort of... I can't even remember everything I said.
You start singing.
I started singing. We can skip that part. We're going to put them all to sleep. All right, let's just quickly recap. Here's what I want to say. I started off by talking to you about what makes the world go round. Alberto, what makes the world go round? You sure it's not money? Ah, but you see, you heard this already. But I'm very proud because that shows me that he listened to what I said. I'm very happy. Yeah, yeah. Love makes the world go round. And then we said, but how do we prove that it's love that makes the world go round? Because the Bible says God is love. And we know that God controls everything. God is everything. Your life is in God's hands. Your life is in God's hands. All right, let's put it that way. He's got the whole world in His hands. 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 And He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. That's enough. There we go.
Well done.
Thank you, thank you. Well, bless God, I can still sing. Okay, so God is love, and because God is love, God controls everything, and therefore love makes the world go round. Now, here's where the problem lies. Society today is very quick to talk about love, and that's where the problem lies, because love is not something that you talk about. Love is something that you do. Love is something that you have to show. Love is something that has to manifest itself. And I was sharing just now, imagine if I go and I meet up with somebody that hasn't had food for, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not talking about, there's a lot of people that always have a long story, but they're actually okay. I'm talking about the real deal, somebody that's really suffering. They're on their last. They don't know what to do anymore, and they really haven't had food. And I go to them, and I'm like, oh, my brother, you know what? I share your pain. I feel your hurt, but I've got some good news for you. God loves you, son. I'll see you tomorrow. What's wrong with that picture? That's not how it works. My friend, I'm sorry to tell you, but that's why a lot of people have no time for Christianity and why they call us hypocrites. Because we're not supposed to live our lives that way. You're supposed to show your love. And I say to you, the Bible says in the book of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he kept telling them, I love you, I love you, I love you. No. For God so loved the world that he did something about it, and he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God put his money where his mouth is. He said, I love mankind, and therefore I will give the ultimate sacrifice to make sure that they have a way to have eternal life. I will give myself for them. Talk about talk not being cheap. What price you put on the life of God? Can anybody give me a price? It's priceless. It's priceless. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I want you to listen to this. This is actually very powerful. Love is. I said to you earlier on, there was a comic series when I grew up. It used to be in the U magazine, and it used to be in the Rapport and the Sunday Times, and you used to find it in a lot of different places. Love is. There was a little boy and a little girl, and love would be like he gives her a flower, or he wipes away her tears or something. And it kind of, in a rudimentary way, showed that love is something we do. Is there a recipe for love? I disagree with all of you. There is. It's here. I'm going to read it to you now. And I want you to listen to this recipe, and I want you to check in your life whether you have the ingredients to love. Hello? Don't you tell me you don't know how to love. The Bible's going to teach you now. Open your ears. Are you ready? There we go. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, people can be impressed by words very quickly. Have you noticed that? I mean, Malema opens his trap and everybody shouts hallelujah. I mean, you're like, hello? But what is he saying? It's not necessarily anything good. It's not about what you say, it's about what you do. But here he goes and he says, if I talk in the tongues of men and of angels, in other words, even if I have heavenly languages coming out of my mouth, that should not be reason for people to believe that I'm fine. Because unless it is motivated by love, it means nothing. Many people like to talk. The question is, what's the motive behind the talk? When you talk, do you love the people you're talking to, or do you love yourself? Are you trying to uplift the people, or are you trying to put something in your own pocket? You know, in South Africa, we have that problem. Everybody that opens their mouth on a political agenda wants to put something in their pocket, which is why this country is where it is today, because the motive is not love. The motive is self, what's it? Self-enrichment. And we can see it in this country. You know what? Unless we have leaders that understand love and are willing to put their money where their mouth is when it comes to love, we're going to have a problem. And it's time for us to pray for the love of God to touch leadership in the church, leadership in the school, leadership in the country. Because then things are going to begin to change. Do not be impressed by what people say. Be impressed by what they do. And don't buy into what people say until you've had time to check what they do. Otherwise, you're in for a very, very rude awakening. He goes on, he says, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Do you know what he's talking about? Okay, I sort of wanted to show you. This would actually be the perfect thing to show you with, but it's already been plugged in, so... Can you remember when you were, I remember when I was in grade 1, grade 2, Now and then, like twice a year, you see the teachers are not stupid. They're actually very clever. Twice a year, we would have the opportunity to mess around with some instruments. I don't think the teacher's ears could handle more than twice a year. Because you give a bunch of grade twos, a bunch of instruments, and it's like clang, clang, you know. All these noises. Nobody can hold a tune. Everybody just makes noise. Now, that's exactly what he says here. He says somebody that wants to preach even the word of God that is not motivated by love is actually making noise in your ears. No matter how beautiful the words sound. To God, they're making noise. And that's the problem. There's a lot of people making noise. And then there's other people. They might not have. The Apostle Paul, speaking about himself, he says, when I came to you, I did not come in eloquence of speech to come and impress you. I just gave you the facts. Paul led thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. Not because he tried to be nice with the way he spoke. He spoke the truth, but he did it in love. And therefore God worked with him. You see, God is not interested in how many big words you know. How easily you can confuse people by what you say, but still look like, I know what I'm talking about. God just wants to know, do you love them? And are you motivated by love in what you're doing? Because then I'll work with you and I'll bless the work you do. He goes on, he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all the mysteries, and if I have all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. You know, humans are very easily impressed. Let's talk about prophecy. I've been around the block many times. When people claim to be prophets, suddenly their churches are full. The whole world is sitting there. Oh, I need a word from God. Oh, I need a word from God. First mistake. You don't run after the word, you run after God. The word will come at the right time. The problem in the church today is everybody wants a word. Nobody wants to spend time with God. Nobody wants to seek God. You see, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and then a lot of other things will be given to you. Today, people don't want to seek after God. When they hear the prophet is in town, ooh, put on their best suit, look very nice, look all fancy and larny. I need a word from God. But listen to what he says here. There's a lot of prophecy going out that's going to make no difference to your life. Can I tell you why? The first thing you must understand is, what is the motive of the person prophesying? And thereby, I'm not discounting prophets. They are genuine prophets of God. But the only genuine prophets of God are the ones with love in their heart. You see, sometimes we prophesy because it makes us look good. Everybody's like, oh, the prophet is in the house. That's not what it's about. Listen to what he says. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom all the mysteries, if I have all knowledge, in other words, if the whole world is like, oh, you're so clever, oh, you're so wise, but there's no love, in God's eyes, you are what? Nothing. Some people spend their whole life trying to impress people, when the only one you should be impressing is God, because you're going to spend eternity with God, not people. And the people that you impress down here can't open the door for you up there. They probably won't even be there. Hello? He goes on, he says, if I give all that I possess to the poor, and if I surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I have gained nothing. Now, this seems to be like ludicrous. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor. You see, for us down here, if somebody was to go and sell everything and give it to the poor, we would be like, oh, he's such a holy man. Oh, he's such a pious man. Oh, he's such a wonderful person. God sees his heart. If he did that to impress people, if he didn't do that motivated by love, God says, nothing. People are easily fooled, but God sees the motives of the heart. Whatever does not come from love, God has one word for it. Look at your neighbor and say, nothing. It helps nothing. It proves nothing. It gains nothing. Whatever is not of love means nothing. Now, I say to you, there's a recipe for love. Would you like to hear the recipe?
Yes.
Number one, love is patient. Look at your neighbor and smile. You know why you're smiling? Because you know you need a lot more of that. Amen? You're right. The people from Chedult, that doesn't mean you have patience, eh? For those that don't know, Chedult in Afrikaans means patience.
Okay.
Yes. Listen to this. I say to you, is there a recipe for love? In fact, I didn't see anybody saying yes. You all said no. Yes, the recipe. First ingredient. Love is patient. I don't think anybody in this room has enough patience. Raise your hands if you have enough patience. What was that, Dino? Oh, you were just digging in your nose. Sorry. Love is patient. Come, let's call a spade a spade. If we want to show mankind who God is, we have to get to the place that we begin to live the way God wants us to live. We've grown up impatient. One of the problems in this world is everybody is impatient. We want it yesterday. I'll never forget when I was an apprentice. This is like many moons ago. I was studying and I had to do certain tasks and stuff. I had to do it practically. And I used to work with a guy. I'll tell you what, this oak was like mind-blowingly impatient. About 100 times a day, he used to shout at the top of his lungs, "I want it and I want it now!" You know? No? And then everybody just runs. But it wasn't nice to work for him. In fact, nobody wanted to work for him. In fact, I think he had the greatest turnaround of staff in the whole of Telkom. Back then I was happy for Telkom. Just like many moons ago. Love is patient. Let's talk first in the greater population and then let's talk a bit closer to home. You serve God, right? How many times do you stuff up in a month?
Every day.
Okay, this is where I see Mr. Lee sitting there. No, give me the calculator. Am I right, Lee?
I mess up every day of the month.
You mess up every day of the month. She's not telling us how many times a day, but she's telling us every day. But she's not wrong. You see, the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Anybody that sits here and tells me you don't mess up, you are way too spiritual for all of us. But you're also wrong. Hello? Because it's not biblical. We all mess up. Now, can I tell you something about God? Ooh! I'm going to pray for you for that later. Listen to me. Okay, for the past 2 months, we haven't had church. Probably your flame went a bit low. Probably it manifested through your mouth. Now I'm looking like Dr. Evil. Now I'm not Dr. Evil, don't worry. How many times do we mess up? Now, we said God is love, right? Do you know one of the characteristics of God? God is patient. He says he's slow to anger and rich in love. Listen to me. God is patient with you. Why can't you be patient with other people? If God had to hold you accountable every time you mess up, I want to ask you a question. Where would your life be right now? You would be 6 foot under. We want God to be patient with us, but we can't be patient with people. Strike one. Wrong. You know, last year I did speak, and I remember one of the sermons was kind of like about this. today I want you to listen, and I want you to listen very carefully. This is the recipe, God's own recipe for love. It's time for us to have more patience. We want God to be patient with us. We want God to be kind and loving to us. Well, I want to tell you something. Sometimes God gives you back what you give to others. And then you're going to battle. And then you're going to suffer. And you are going to get hiding after hiding after hiding. Love is patient. Let's talk about your loved ones, your spouse, your husband, your wife, the dog,
the cat.
Well, let's ask a question. Does God want you to be patient with the dog? Well, patience is patience, whether it's with the animal, whether it's with the man, whether it's... I don't have a problem with the man in the moon, but anyway. Patience is something that should be in us. But the world has robbed us of it. Whether it be a spirit, a devil, a demon, an emotion, I don't care. It shouldn't be. Impatience must get out of our lives. Why? Because love is patient and we need to manifest love. God wants love to come through us. The people that work for you are going to mess up. Should you bite their head off every time they do? No. You should understand that God doesn't bite your head off every time you do. In fact, God is very lenient with us if you think about it. If God had to give you back what you deserve, where would you be? We need patience. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Right, next thing. Love is kind. Oh, love is kind. My friend, I want to say something to you. I think this is one of the things that is the most missing from most people's lives. It's easy to be ugly. It's easy to be nasty. It's easy to be horrible because the flesh likes to be ugly and nasty and horrible. To be kind kind of takes more out of you. But that's what God expects from you. You see, here's the thing. We already spoke about it. What do we really deserve from God? Hiding upon hiding upon hiding. Yet what does He show us? Kindness and mercy. So what does He expect from us? Kindness and mercy towards others. You know, to be kind to somebody.
You just like beating it.
Why?
The game that he plays when he says, mercy, mercy.
Oh, yeah. I remember. But here's the thing. What does it really cost to be kind? Okay, let's say there's somebody there and they don't have food to eat and you go and you buy them a 10 rand loaf of bread. Is it going to kill you?
No,
but it might actually make a hell of a difference in their life. Do you get where I'm going? Kindness is not difficult to manifest, but you must actually try to do it. Most people are just couldn't be bothered. Too impatient to try anyway. So, there we go. Love is kind. In the marriage, how do you treat your partner? Or kind? What does God want from you? Come on, we have to call a spade a spade. I'm not here to give you nonsense. I'm here to preach the truth. What does God want from you? God wants kindness. What is kindness? Kindness is doing something for them even if they didn't ask you to do it. It's looking after them. Yes, it's to give breakfast in bed. I can see Mr. Joao was like, man, I wish Cindy was here now. Take her the sermon. She can listen to it. Listen to me. Listen to me. Kindness must become part of your life. Kindness must be, and it's not just about your husband or your wife or your children. It must be something that is inside of you that, you know what, you notice that this one needs this or that. A kind word, yeah. Listen to me. Don't kick a person when they're down. You know, the world is like that. Somebody makes a mistake, you crap all over them because of that. No. What do? It's going to be okay. Don't stress. Don't worry. We're going to make a plan. Things are going to be okay. Do you understand? That's kindness. Imagine if God was like with you every time you make a mistake. He doesn't do that. Kindness. You see somebody with a need somewhere. I'm not talking about Eskom that's in a deficit of 500 billion. We can't help them. But I'm talking about the people around you. I'm talking about sometimes, and it doesn't even have to cost you a lot of money. You know somebody is sick, their children need a lift to school. You don't have to wait for them to come and ask you. He's like, hey, I understand you're not feeling well. Can I take your kids to school today? That's called kindness. Guess what? God blesses that. Because it's called love. Next thing. Love does not envy. Oh. Okay, well, it's going to come out sometime. Uncle Ed has a new car. Yay, Ed. Now, love is not jealous. Love is not jealous. Where's all the people that have a problem with jealousy? Okay, nobody's going to raise their hands, but some of you know you've got a problem. Here's the thing. When somebody gets blessed by God, what God wants from us is to be happy for them. Not to be upset because we don't have it. Can I tell you why a lot of people have nothing in life? Because they're so busy looking at what other people have that they can't see what God has for them.
You know what I noticed?
No, I don't.
Yes.
What she says is very true. Jealous people have nothing to show for their life. And that's the reason is what I just said. Jealous people are too busy looking at other people's lives, and because their focus is on other people's lives instead of where God wants to take them, they keep missing what God has for them. Love is not jealous. You're not jealous of somebody else's accomplishments. You're not jealous of their possessions. You're not jealous of the size of their house or the size of their shoes or whatever. You know. Yeah, and don't be jealous of the size of their overdraft, please. It's like, that's just plain stupidity. Love is not jealous. Okay, going on. Love is not proud. I want to just say something because it's sometimes misunderstood. There are two types of proud. One is good, one is bad. To be proud of your son or your daughter or your wife because they accomplished something good is good in God's eyes because God is proud of you. That's not the proud we are talking about. Yeah, we're talking about you got problems, but you're too proud to acknowledge that you got problems. You need help, but you're too proud and too stiff-necked to say, help me. This is the proud we are talking about. Love is not proud. And you're too proud to say sorry. Listen, yeah, everybody makes mistakes, but it is pride that makes you like stuff you. I don't have to say sorry. I don't have to. Love is not proud. Love is not proud. When you need help, you say, I need help. When you're wrong, you say, I'm sorry. When you got to fix things, you fix things. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not rude. Help me out with that one. Well, in a sense, you're right. It does go hand in hand with patience. When, yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can react to people. Sometimes we have a bad day and then we're like, like somebody asks a question and you bite their head off. Why? It's not good. Amen? Love is not rude. To me, it's the way we react to people. It's the way we interact with people. Let's say you're at the office, okay? The appy comes in. Yes, he has asked the question 5 times, but at least he's coming for the 6th time because he's trying to understand. Where's your brain? What's wrong with you? Are you stupid? Are you an idiot? Rude. Love is not rude. Finished law. And if there was kindness in you, you would take the appy and go show them, even if it's the 6th time, how to do it and do it right. Because you have to understand something. Different people learn at different paces and speeds. Just because you learned it the 1st time doesn't mean everybody else is going to learn it the 1st time. I'm sorry, but I worked for a couple of people like that. You know, I don't want to be funny, but I seem to have worked with a lot of brain boxes out there that seem to grasp everything the first time. Me, I didn't always grasp everything the first time, but if you really helped me to understand, there's nothing wrong with me, I can understand it. But more often than not, I had somebody shouting at me and calling me stupid. I'm sorry, I'm not stupid. I might just need a bit more time to get there, but I'll get there the same as you. And I'll probably do a better job than you once I understand it. So just give me a bit of space, give me a bit of time, and stop being rude to me. I don't need that. Hello? Love is not rude. Watch the way you talk to people. Watch the way you interact with people. Be kind. Remember, love is kind. Okay, then. Love is not self-seeking. Yeah. Love is not just about me, me, me. Me, 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 me. Love is about us. Love is about the group. Love is about the family. I want you to listen carefully. Love is not self-seeking. Do you know what is important to God? Churches. Yes, individuals are important. But the individual also has a responsibility in the group. And groups are important. You know, it's no use you sit here in church and you're just worried about yourself. You need to be worried about the people around you too. You can't just have like, oh, I want this and I want that. You should think of others. When the people were hungry, what did Jesus do? Jesus also didn't eat for 3 days and three nights. Jesus didn't go up to Alberto. Hey, Albert, psst, come here. Listen, yeah, I don't want Ed to hear, but have you got something to chow? Because you know, I haven't eaten for 3 days and I'm very hungry. Eh?
We can arrange something.
Can we make a plan? Okay, cool. Albert, I'm going to have to pray for you and me. Jesus did not say, make a plan, bring me something to eat. Jesus said, hey, the people haven't eaten. He wasn't self-seeking. He cared about others. What should we do? Care about others. You have a packet of chocolates. What you do with it? You share it. You share it. Yeah, apparently sharing is caring. Pepinha says sharing is caring, yeah. They're teaching him that at the school, I'm sure. But the fact is, guys, love is not self-seeking. And this is a sickness, a disease of the time that we live in. People care only about themselves. And they will crucify people around them to get what they want. Even people in the church. And I'm sorry, that is ridiculous. It can't be like that. Amen? Love is not easily angered. Oops. Love. There's a lot of reasons why one could be angry. But when talking about himself, the Bible says God is slow to anger. Today, we pull the trigger quickly. God says, wait a bit. There's good reasons to be angry. I agree. But anger should not be your default mode. Amen? And God has to help us with that. It goes along with kindness. It goes along with patience. Love is not easily angered. Imagine if every time you did something even trivially small wrong and the wrath of God came down upon you and crushed you. I want to ask you again, how is your life going to be? Well, it's not going to go very far. So what does God want? Godly character is to be slow to anger. Amen? Next one. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Ah. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Uncle Ed, you remember 3 years ago? when you came home late that night and you forgot to phone Tammy and tell her? It's in the past. Why are you smiling? Did it actually happen? By the way, just for interest's sake, I'm just making this up, all right? I'm having a conversation. Say again? Oh, okay. Don't stress about it. Love is not easily angered. Love is patient and love is kind. There we go. Love keeps no record of wrongs. My friend, I want you to listen to me carefully. Again, the Bible says if we bring something before God in confession and we ask for forgiveness, He removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. There's a scripture that says it's like taking a stone and putting it in the deepest part of the sea where it can never be found again. If God is willing to let go of what you did in the past, you let go of what people did in the past to you. You put it down, you let it go, you forget about it, you move on. Love does not delight in evil. In other words, when you love, you don't plot evil against people. I want to tell you something. If we all lived according to God's recipe for love, this country would be paradise on earth. In fact, freaking Beirut would be paradise on earth. Because this is good stuff. Love does not delight in evil. In other words, when somebody does evil, you're not all happy about it. You're like, hey, that's wrong. You see, one of the problems we have, again, in this country and worldwide, people do rubbish, people do nonsense, and everybody's just like, oh, well. Suppose it's okay. No, it's not. You don't delight in evil. You don't. It's not right. We can't have it. We can't tolerate it. It's not good for me. It's not good for my kids. And it's not good for the people around me. I take a stand against it. And then he goes on and he says, but rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices in good. Amen? Love rejoices in good. And then he goes on and he says, love always protects. You protect your husband, you protect your wife, you protect your children, you protect your dog. You protect your family in the church. You got the point there. But you don't leave the gate open so the poor thing can get missing. Love always protects. Love always trusts. I want to tell you that I know some people, yeah, your trust has been violated in the past. The devil wants you to say, I will never trust again. God's word says, if you call yourself my child, and if you say you have love in your heart, you trust again. And it doesn't matter what happened, you trust. Because the Bible says love always trusts. Imagine if God says, you know what? Just yesterday you made big dwang. Now today you want to pray to me and you want me to trust you. I'm sorry, I'm distancing myself from you. You and me, we're not on good terms. We're not even talking today. Where's your life going to go? God wants you and me to begin to mirror God's loving characteristics between one another. Amen? Love always hopes. Very important. Why? Because there's 1,000 reasons right now why you should not hope. But God says because love is in your heart, you have to hope. Why? Because God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Before there was MacGyver, there was God. God taught MacGyver about MacGyvering. Amen? God has a plan. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It makes sense to God. Amen. Love always perseveres. You see, again, the devil's going to come to you and tell you why you should give up. People are going to come to you and tell you why you should give up. God says, hang in there, my son. Hang in there, my daughter. Things are going to be okay. Don't give up. And then, wonderful scripture, listen to this. Verse 8. Love never fails. Did you hear that? Do you know why so many people's lives are failing right now? There's no love. Now, I want to say something to you. I said to you earlier on, I'm going to give you God's recipe for love. I'm going to give you homework. I want you to do some introspection. I gave you the recipe. I want you to go and figure out where you are missing some ingredients. And your homework must be done by the time we meet each other again, yeah, just now. Okay. Ooh, now then you're in trouble. But the fact of the matter is, listen, yeah. Let's just quickly be serious. We want to change this world. We need love. Without love, we can't. You want to be successful, you need love. Because it says love never fails. It doesn't say hard work never fails. It doesn't say commitment never fails. It doesn't say perseverance never fails. It says love. Commitment and perseverance is just a part of love. You need the other ingredients as well. Imagine if you bake a cake without eggs and flour. What are you going to have? Icing sugar. It's not a cake. All right. So you have to have all the ingredients if you want things to work. I'm giving you the things that you need, and you have to see, I don't have that, I don't have that, I've got only a little bit of that, and then God must help you. And I believe this year God wants to help us all to get to this place. Probably some of you right now are failing at a lot of things. I want to tell you, this is why you're failing. Because your recipe is kokai. But fix it and see how things will turn around for you. This is a very important sermon, and God spoke to me, this is my foundation for this year. Unless we have love, this church is going to go nowhere. And unless we have love, your family is going to go nowhere. Unless we have love, you as a person are going to go nowhere. Then I'm not helping you, am I? I do want to help you. It's all about love. How does that song go? It must be love, love, love. Da, 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 da. All we need is love. Da, 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 da. Yeah, there we go. Did anybody learn something today? Well, bless God.